Track 6. This week at the Sports Desk, we have both local and national sports reports and comments, beginning with the alarming slump in form suffered by Glass Boys, that's the Stourbridge Football Club. Everything had been going swimmingly for them until 2 weeks ago, local rivals Halesowe in Town, known as the Yelts, bottom of the league at that point, with only a couple of wins since the season began, way back in August, arrived for a league match and took home the points after a stunning 2-1 win. Since then, Stourbridge seemed to have suffered a collapse in form. They were dumped out of the FA Cup in the fourth qualifying round, and back in league action on Saturday, they lost 2-0 at home to Grantham. Stourbridge's scoring efforts appear to have been well and truly blunted in this match, but the score was still 0-0 with fewer than 10 minutes left. However, the visitors then scored twice in the dying minutes to take home the points. Grantham have leapfrogged Stourbridge in the league table, and Glass Boys have dropped down to 7th place, whereas before this drastic slump in form, they saw themselves challenging the leaders. The team had a rest from league action in midweek and instead had a tie in the Birmingham Senior Cup competition, a home fixture where the visitors were none other than the authors of this recent misfortune, Halesowe in Town. The match ended 1-1, but Stourbridge saved their blushes, winning the subsequent penalty shootout 5-4 to qualify for the next round. A narrow squeak. As for Halesowe themselves, back in the league, that astonishing win at Stourbridge a fortnight ago has galvanised their season. They've lost only once since and enjoyed a bit of a thriller on Saturday when they beat Lancaster City 4-3. Each side scored in the last minute of the match. What had been 3-2 to the Yelts became 4-3, and I imagine there may have been a few heart attacks amongst the home supporters. 9 points from their last four league matches have pulled Halesowe up from the very bottom place in the league table, but they had fallen so far behind everyone else that even so, they're still down among the teams already fearing relegation at the end of the season. Other soccer news for Midlands senior clubs last weekend includes Wolves still proudly heading the Championship League table, but not without a scare in Saturday's match. Leading 3-0 at home to Preston with an hour gone, Wolves suddenly lost the plot. Preston scored twice, and Wolves were hanging on when the final whistle blew. And while I'm writing this script on Tuesday evening, Wolves are due in action against the Premier League form team Manchester City in the League Cup competition. A big test, although I expect both teams will field a fair number of non-first-team regulars in their lineup. Mind you, non-first-team regulars at Manchester City would probably walk into the first team at any other Premier League side this season. Villa continue to progress too in the Championship. They won 2-1 on Saturday at home to Fulham, one of their goals being scored by the former Chelsea and England veteran John Terry. Villa are fifth in the Championship League table, but it's very crowded up there with only 2 points separating the teams from fourth to eighth position. Birmingham City lost 2-0 at Millwall and continued to struggle, while Walsall astounded everyone, probably even including themselves, when they won 3-0 at Doncaster. And West Bromwich continued to slide down the Premier League table. Their result at the weekend was a 1-0 defeat at Southampton. As I mentioned last week, my Saturday was spent travelling to Leicester to watch Stourbridge rugby in action on a visit to Leicester Lions. The supporters' coach was very nearly blown there by a howling gale, and the match was played in trying conditions where any kick at goal, unless directly in front of the posts and no more than about 10 yards out, was liable to end up somewhere near the corner flag. Stourbridge were triumphant once again, maintaining their unbeaten record this season, but this was a tough, competitive match, and I should think Stourbridge won despite having less of the ball in their possession than Leicester. When they did have it, they used it well. Their forwards mastered both the elements and the opposition pack, and although Leicester frequently offloaded well and scampered about, they came up against the brick wall that was the Stourbridge defence time and again. They did get over the line twice, but by the time they did, Stourbridge had the match sewn up, had scored 4 tries of their own to earn their now habitual bonus point, but did suffer a couple of injuries to key players, including their scrum half who departed the field in the first 5 minutes with a fractured leg. They were consoled with the news that their chief rivals in the league so far, Tynedale, had lost for the first time this season, so Stourbridge this morning sit in splendid isolation at the very top of the league, 7 points clear of the chasing pack. This coming Saturday, back home when Sedgley Park are the visitors. The new all-weather artificial pitch is due to be unveiled, although it's still to be signed off by the contractors, I understand, so we shall see. Rugby's European Champions Cup, it used to be called the Heineken Cup, is now well underway. This is the tournament for leading club sides in England, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, France and Italy, and the second round of matches took place over the weekend. England are represented by Wasps, Bath, Exeter, Saracens, Harlequins, Leicester and Northampton this season, and our nearest representatives here, Wasps, did the Midlands proud with a stunning 41-10 victory over Harlequins at the weekend. Wasps, devastated by injuries to key players, had lost five consecutive matches in the English Premier League prior to this, so this was a very welcome return to form. And there were two Anglo-Welsh matches last weekend. Saracens crept past the Ospreys by 36-34, and Bath won 18-13 away to the Scarlets. The teams taking part in this tournament are split into groups of four, and when they've all played each other home and away, and that won't happen until late in the winter, the winner of each group and the three best-placed runners-up will move on to knockout matches. So far, each side has played only two matches, so it's too early to become excited about the prospects. Slightly, but only slightly, related to rugby union, American football returned to play another live match in London last weekend, this time at Twickenham, home of rugby union, instead of at Wembley. The match, a one-sided affair, featured the Los Angeles Rams versus Arizona Cardinals, the Rams winning the encounter 33-0. They have made a pretty successful start to the season, having won 5 out of 7 matches so far. Until 2 years ago, they were the St. Louis Rams, but they moved back to Los Angeles, where they had started originally years ago. It's not uncommon for American football teams to move to another city, which got me thinking about what would happen in this country if, for example, Arsenal moved to a new home in Manchester, or Wolves up sticks and became, perhaps, the Newcastle Wolves. I hope the Stourbridge rugby and soccer teams don't get any ideas. Another victory for Lewis Hamilton and his Mercedes team in the weekend's latest Formula One Grand Prix race, the United States Grand Prix, held on the track at Austin, Texas. Is it just my warped sense of humour? But I always think it's funny that this event, which involves supremely aerodynamic cars hurtling round a racetrack at speeds approaching 200 miles an hour, should take place at a city whose name evokes little pottering saloon cars trundling sedately round narrow English lanes. But back to the race itself, in which Hamilton had to battle to make sure of victory. He started from first place on the grid, but his perennial rival, the Ferrari driver Sebastian Vettel, overtook him at the first corner. A risky move, but both cars survived unscathed. The Mercedes seemed to have pace to spare, and Hamilton was back in the lead on lap 6. Vettel made an early pit stop for fresh tyres, enabling him to go quicker yet. He was soon back on Hamilton's tail, and the English driver decided he needed fresh tyres also. Both drivers fought their way back towards the front after those changes. Vettel had another new set of tyres and challenged again, but Hamilton had the pace to stay clear in front, and he eventually won the race from his closest rival with 10 seconds to spare. With just 3 races left until the season ends, Hamilton is on the cusp of another drivers' championship. He's 66 points ahead of Vettel at the moment, and if he finishes sufficiently high up the order this weekend, when the Mexican Grand Prix follows hard on the footsteps of the United States one, he will be world champion for the 5th time, something no other British driver has ever achieved. He needs to finish Sunday's race no worse than 5th, but knowing Hamilton's temperament, he'll be satisfied with nothing less than another victory. More tennis news this week, this time about the climax to the Women's Tennis Association season involving the top 8 ranked players this year, fighting it out to establish the number one. Sadly, there's no Joanna Konta involved. She had looked as though she'd qualify, having spent a fair amount of time ranked 7th in the world based on results, but then she hit the skids and was eliminated in the first round at 5 tournaments in a row. The 8 players who are taking place in this tournament, which started on Monday in Singapore, include the world number 1, Simona Halep of Romania, Karolina Wozniacki and Venus Williams. These 3, plus Karolina Pliskova of the Czech Republic, all won their opening matches. The tournament's due to finish next Sunday, and I'll bring you the outcome on next week's news. But that's all from the Sports Desk this week. I hope you've enjoyed the offering, and I look forward to being with everyone once again in 7 days' time. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall. Or it would be, but the late, late news is that the Wolves lost that cup tie I mentioned against Manchester City. They held out for 90 minutes, then for half an hour of extra time, but lost it 4-1 on penalties. Sorry, Wolves fans.